The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, July 23rd, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. I'm just going to start today's broadcast by saying that Friday's Road Warrior Radio broadcast was not live. You may have already discovered that, but I did guest host the National Intel Report on Friday. And as irony would have it, I've been doing this for a few years. And I said at the beginning of, I started doing this in 2007, I believe. And so what's the point? You know, I began this year actually before the end of last year. I think it was December. I was asking the question, what's the point? Are we just waxing soft about nostalgia? And I don't think so. This country has been guided, molded, shaped, driven, really, by ideologues for quite a long time who will use the most nefarious of means to, you know, create movements, herd the sheep, and so forth. Because as I always say, you know, cows don't move. They just kind of hang around. Sheep don't. They like to stare at shiny things. Not really. Certainly don't move around in groups. And so bad guys will use any means necessary. The most nefarious are usually methods of choice. And then when they do bad things and the unwitting masses go along, that ultimately is another thing that bad guys use against the unwitting masses. You think of the products that have helped to create monopolies in markets. You remember the CFC issue, chlorofluorocarbons and things like that. We hear about the ozone. So bad guys do things that allow them to create monopolies. And then when people buy their products, for example, suddenly if you buy these products that international industrialists have created, titans and tycoons have created monopolies and gigantic fortunes for themselves, then suddenly you're a bad person for buying the product that they propagandized you in Bernaysian fashion to buy all those years. So it's just ridiculous crap like that that seems to be part and parcel to the MO of bad guys. And then you have it's astonishing to me, you know, Chamath Palihapitiya's Stanford School of Business remarks. You know, that talk that he gave, you can still find on YouTube. Interesting, because for a guy so educated, you have to wonder. It always makes me suspicious. I mean, that was a fantastic talk that he gave, obviously. And he said some other things that were – he made some remarks subsequent to that in interviews. The CNBC interview in particular was interesting. You can find that on YouTube, titled – ex-Facebook executive Chamath Palihapitiya, social media is ripping apart society. And he didn't really say that in the CNBC interview. That was obviously a reference to his Stanford School of Business talk, which is actually titled, ironically, I would say, it was titled Chamath Palihapitiya, Founder and CEO, Social Capital on Money as an Instrument of Change. So that was the talk that he gave last November that was then the subject of fodder for the CNBC interview and others. But for a guy that's that sentient and aware of what's going on to, you know, he had some interesting points, but for him to, the examples that he used, he mentioned ripping apart the biodiversity. There was some profanity in there. Otherwise we'd probably just play the clip, but he talked about the companies that get, investment capital thrown at them. And there's probably a clip or two we could play in there. I'd have to screen it because there were some F-bombs in there, especially when all of the interesting stuff around the 20-minute mark seemed to come up. But he was talking about what kinds of things receive venture capital. What are the venture capitalists interested in? And it's the same sort of stuff that Jaron Lanier talked about in his book, You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto. Anyway, so capital markets don't reward good stuff. He was making the point, capital markets don't reward people trying to solve real problems. Capital markets are messed up, he was saying. Don't reward good decision making. But if somebody were to solve food delivery, you know, food delivery is a breakthrough. If you're all hopped up on marijuana and you need a brownie, then, you know, go ahead and look through Crunchbase and see how many useless, idiotic companies that have gotten funded doing garbage like that versus climate change. And so when it comes to climate change, I just think it's interesting. A guy like that, so smart, far better educated, far more intelligent than I, far more well-connected than I, doesn't understand that the Club of Rome cooked up a scheme to once again make mankind the bad guy. You know, there are several iterations of this kind of nonsense. Some notable iterations are the institutionalizing of eugenics through Darwinism or Darwinism, basically, you know, as I always say, you'll notice that wherever you find the evolutionists, you'll find eugenicists too. And it's ironic that oftentimes people are advocating their own, they're indirectly advocating their own, you know, dirt nap, basically espousing these evolutionary views, which is a painful irony. Again, you know, the unwitting masses being duped. But it's interesting that the full title of the book, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, people want to talk about natural selection all the time, but what about the latter half of the title? Or the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life? Well, when it comes to favored races, who decides? And so that the second half of the title of the book is essentially a eugenicist's dream. And these days, the first half is kind of two, because the technocrats would have you believe that, you know, it's just math. Natural selection is just math, and we can do that too. We can do both sides. We can do, and so the two sides combine, natural selection and favored races combine. It's just math. Anyway, it's interesting to me, a guy that smart doesn't, as smart as Chamath Palihapitiya, as well connected, doesn't understand that the Club of Rome cooked up this whole climate change nonsense. How does a guy that smart not know about that? Excuse me. It's just, it's very fascinating. You know, the first global revolution, a report by the Council on the Club of Rome. Council of the Club of Rome, excuse me. Published in 1991, Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider. Again, you know, they said a lot of very bizarre and disturbing things. Not the least of which, or wrote, elites everywhere reconcile easily despite the surface controversy. The general public is not involved, only manipulated in debates of this type. The gulf between elite thinking and thinking at a popular level is enormous. Here's where we find distortions and tensions difficult or even impossible to resolve. And it is simply not good enough to access the leadership, that access to leadership be achieved through good television performances and simplistic speeches aimed at manipulating the masses into enthusiastic support with empty promises and avoidance of realities. That's some interesting stuff, but that's not the population reduction nonsense and the So what is the you know, the issue with the Earth's climate and man being found the enemy of himself? Well, here's a couple more excerpts from the first global revolution. It would seem that men and women need a common motivation, namely a common adversary. There was a campaign, a political campaign, and you'll see these all the time everywhere. I saw recently, what was it? Defeat this guy, which reminds me of what Hayek wrote of the same thing. All these bad guys know that. Everyone unites in a negative cause. That was the third reason that Hayek cited, that the bad guys get on top. They can unite a mass of people around a common negative cause instead of something positive. It's easier to unite people in a negative cause, including against themselves. It's really, really pathetically ironic, I think. So Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, first global revolution, they wrote, it would seem that men and women need a common motivation. What is my motivation? Namely, a common adversary to organize and act together, even if that adversary is themselves. In the vacuum, such motivations seem to have ceased to exist or have yet to be found. The need for enemies seem to be a common historical factor. States have striven to overcome domestic failure and internal contradictions by designating external enemies. Ah, yes, the Machiavellian way. The scapegoat practice is as old as mankind itself. Yep. Machiavelli sort of institutionalized it, though, in The Prince. When things become too difficult at home, divert attention by adventure abroad. Bring the divided at home, divert attention by adventure. Bring the divided nation together to face an outside enemy, either a real one or else one invented for the purpose. Again, Machiavelli. With the disappearance of the traditional enemy, the temptation is to designate as a scapegoat religious or ethnic minorities whose differences are disturbing. But who is the new enemy? They point out that we we're going to try to unite the masses in a common cause, who's the enemy then? Well, we'll get to that excerpt when we come back. Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So uniting people in a common cause, even when it's bad, you know, bad guys everywhere agree that, you know, that's the way to get people to band together, get them to band together in a common cause, especially in some negative cause, pursuit of an enemy or adversary or whatever. And, you know, we see that in foreign policy, domestic policy, that kind of nonsense. It's interesting, the spike in drug use in this country came after Nixon declared a war on drugs, after Nixon's war on drugs. Suddenly we had this spike in drug use. Funny how that works, you know, the war on poverty. And so as people joke about those kinds of things, we should have a war on money and prosperity, because then, you know, it would increase. You know, we have to look back at this, one of the most quintessential examples of this tactic deployed. First Global Revolution, the report, the book by the Council on the Club of Rome by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider. But what did they write specifically would be the new enemy? With the disappearance of the traditional enemy, the temptation is to designate as a scapegoat religious or ethnic minorities whose differences are disturbing. And we see that, right? We see that in foreign policy. Come on. People are programmed to believe one thing, and then, you know, they go sit in church pews on Sunday and they hear, go get, you know, so-and-so. But in the First Global Revolution, Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider wrote specifically, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. The real enemy then is humanity itself. There you go. So who's creating, if there really are these problems, who's creating it? I mean, could it be that giant water bottling companies? I mean, I remember around the time they were writing this, people were saying, you know, pretty soon we're going to be buying water. Around the time, 1991, when the First Global Revolution was published, the book, which was just a formalization of ideas that were really cooked up in the 70s. And that scam didn't work in the 70s. There was a generation or two that were still around that were saying hogwash. We're not buying it. Even if you are pumping gasoline out in the desert, trying to tell us there's a shortage. Into the desert, not just in the desert, but into the desert. So in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. The real enemy then is humanity itself. And folks have pointed out that we could end world hunger. If a few billionaires got together, we could have world hunger solved by lunch today. Well, that's pretty soon. Yes, it is. Wouldn't take much. But, you know, when you have the I always forget. There's the IMF, there's the BIS. What are the other two? The two sort of arms of property theft on a national level. I forget the names of the banks. Anyway. When you have these kinds of tools that bad guys use to steal resources from entire countries or continents, and then, you know, say, it's not our fault that they, in William Devil Bill Livingston Rockefeller fashion, we tricked them. It's not our fault. They're too stupid to figure it out. No, they weren't stupid. They were just naive. They believed that you operated the same way they operate, with some kind of conscience. How silly of them to believe that you were honest, you know, and that you aren't just a sleaze bag. Anyway, if you want to be part of the Bank for Reconstruction and Development, is one of them, the IBRD. And I forget what the other one is. World Bank's International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. That's one of the arms. Anyway, so bad guys engineer water shortages, famine, etc., etc., and then, you know, decide to unite humanity in a common cause against itself. Against a problem they created, which is not a new phenomenon. Again, Richard Sackler's words come to mind. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
First hour. Today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Monday, July 23rd, 2018. You know, as far as the banking nonsense is concerned, the stealing of especially developing nations, emergent markets, and all that kind of stuff. As far as that's concerned, people should watch some of the talks that Joan Vion gave. Some of that stuff is being republished. You can find a lot of those interviews and talks on YouTube. Just search Joan Vion. When central banks rule the world, that's obviously a big one. But, you know, all of those talks that she gave were fantastic. Public-private partnership, you know, all of them. Understanding the power strategy, one world government connection, UN depopulation plan, Agenda 21, the end of sovereignty, the rise of global technocracy, the global financial crisis, deceit, deception, and distortion. Anyway, I didn't have her on this broadcast nearly enough, and I think we lost her too soon. And if you know, for folks that are not familiar with Joan Vion, that just is a testament to how poorly the rest of us are carrying the torch and doing our job, because no one does what Joan Vion did. That is a void that is not filled. So that's a big loss. Anyway, so IBRD is one of the banks to which I was referring that is basically the two arms of resource theft on a national or continental scale. Well, if you want to participate in a global credit monopoly, then here's what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, again, it's the Dewey-Oxberger thing. This is fun. We're stealing everything from you. Isn't this fun? You're learning how to do this. No, it's not fun. It's just disgusting what you do. You know, when people in India are trying to secure water rights for clean water, clean drinking water, and you're basically, you've got some kind of Ponzi scheme going on, and you're loaning them the money to buy water at usurious interest rates. I mean, like exorbitant interest rates, to the point that causes folks to kill themselves, to commit suicide so that, you know, the debt doesn't pass on to their children. There's a problem. And when people who don't need more are doing that, there's obviously a problem. You know, again, if you watch It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Potter's character is fashioned after this archetype, the William Devil Bill Livingston Rockefeller, I would say, really. It's not my fault that, you know, this is just how I am. I'm shrewd. No, you're evil. You're wicked. You're not shrewd. You're wicked. You prey on people and you wait for opportunities to prey on people. That doesn't make you shrewd. It makes you wicked. And the saddest reality is that we have a society that's beginning more and more, or it's, you know, it's more and more emulating that sort of archetype. That just breaks my heart. Don't do it, America. Don't do it. Pick up your Bible. Start reading, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. We need to get back to that sentiment, like Paul wrote, insofar as it be with you, be at peace with all men. I admit I need to learn that lesson first and foremost. Anyway, so the first global revolution, who was the new enemy? In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. The real enemy then is humanity itself. And then they, skipping ahead a little bit, back actually, I think. Yeah. skipping back from there a little bit, the fundamental need is to reduce carbon dioxide emission. So, I mean, this is just all a big scam. We need to reduce carbon dioxide emission. Why don't we just plant a few more trees? Well, you know, it's not that simple. It's interesting, you know, if we've lost too many trees converting carbon dioxide to oxygen, then who caused that problem? You know, who's been causing all of these kinds of problems? Not you, not me. I mean, people might argue, well, yeah, no, it's people in large numbers. Well, but who engineered the impetus behind those efforts? You know, one of the best examples of the kind of nonsense we're still dealing with is the fact that Cecil Rhodes and De Beers, in Bernaysian fashion, cooked up an advertising scheme, and that's a commonly known fact. Who was it? Was it? It wasn't College Humor. Who did the video? What's his name? I forget his name. The guy who does the, you know, did you know videos about stuff? Talked about this. I mean, it's mainstream information. Cecil Rhodes and De Beers cooked up a publicity scheme. Diamonds are forever. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. That's just a publicity stunt from the early 20th century. Wasn't a thing. And now, you know, even if people, everyone knows, hey, it's publicity, so you can't try to break from that. He proposed. What did he? Well, he gave me, you know, cubic zirconia. Who cares? You know, it's a scam. Yeah, but that's kind of, you know, cheap, isn't it? Doesn't matter if you know or not. So, yeah, Adam ruins everything, right? Why engagement rings are a scam. We should play that. I don't remember if there's profanity in that. It seems like there was something. Maybe not. Anyway, it was College Humor. It's Adam ruins everything for posterity's sake. And that was back in 2014. Mainstream stuff. Anyway. So mankind is now the enemy. These bad guys have turned mankind, weaponized mankind, and his behavior, his coerced, engineered behavior against himself. It reminds me of the True Stream Media video, Are People Programmable? That one was last year, right? Are we programmable? Are human beings programmable? No, that was... And they've done this more than once, you know. There are several entries into the programming of people. So, there's that, some people would say. Anyway, getting back to the point, I find it interesting that Chamath Palihapitiya doesn't understand. This is what's going on. So if he really doesn't, if people aren't being played once again, then it's a provocative irony that he's telling these, you know, high IQ folks that they're the most vulnerable to and susceptible to essentially the propaganda and the social engineering, the rhetoric, because it targets those intellectuals and conscripts them, and then they become the mouthpieces. They get Jedi mind tricked first, which is ironic. So is he Jedi mind tricked on climate change? It's a scam, Chamath. I hope you figure that out if you don't already know that. And if you do know that, shame on you for you know, leading people further into a ditch. That's the Webster's words. You know, it is difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. All right, so what's the point of all this? I started today's broadcast. I said Friday's Road Warrior Radio broadcast was not live, but I did guest host Friday's National Intel Report, Friday, July 20th, 2018. I guest hosted hours 1 and 2. And the point is this. I have been doing this for a few years now. And what is the point of all of this? I don't like what's happening in this country and other places, but this is my country. This is actually, you know, if we really want to get technical, I guess, you know, Montana is my home country where I was born. This was supposed to be a union of several states. These United States, not the United States Incorporated. But I digress. So I don't like the trend toward technocratic overreach and so forth. I don't like the notion of someone trying to tell me what to think, how to behave, where I can go, for how long, what I can do. And I don't like any of that. I'm not a fan of that. You know, that to me is patently un-American, as I understand it. And how do I understand this? Well, I've been pointing to two resources in particular. And so it really comes down to this. What does it mean to be American? As I understand it, basically, I'm carried back, in simplest of terms, to three letters, basically. John Adams writing to William Tudor, and I've talked about these letters a lot recently. John Adams, two letters in particular to William Tudor, June 1st, 1818, and June 9th, 1818. And, of course, his John Adams, February 13, 1818, letter to Hezekiah Niles. I'm carried back to those letters to understand, you know, that John Adams wrote extensively about James Otis and said James Otis advocating personal freedom and this concept of, you know, taxation without representation. Those were two things, you know, individual liberty, personal freedom, and not to be taxed when one is not represented are two concepts that we are supposed to hold as central tenets as Americans. And John Adams said, "I sincerely believe Mr. Otis, James Otis, to have been the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions to ever have occurred among men. It seems to me of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten." And so the two letters John Adams wrote to William Tudor, June 1 and June 9, 1818, give us that, I guess, jumping off point, a starting point to begin to wrap our minds around what it was that was the greatest political revolution, one of the greatest political revolutions to ever have occurred among men. That's a pretty bold statement. And then generally, more broadly, in his letter to Hezekiah Niles a few months before those two letters, John Adams wrote to Hezekiah Niles, February 13, 1818, talking about what constituted the American Revolution. What was it? Do we mean the American War? And he said, immediately following that question, do we mean the American War? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments, of their duties and obligations. And he goes on to point out and reiterate, it was fascinating and remarkable to get all of these people together on the same page. It was a miraculous event. So he said to unite them in the same principles and theory and the same system of action was certainly a very difficult enterprise. That complete accomplishment of it in so short a time by such simple means was perhaps a singular example in the history of mankind. 13 clocks were made to strike together, a perfection of mechanism which no artist had ever before effected. Could we use that today in America? And in the same letter, he is saying, you know, it would be a good idea to gather up everything you could that precipitated this very difficult enterprise, this miraculous event, unique in all the history of mankind. To this end, John Adams wrote, it is greatly to be desired that young gentlemen of letters in all states, especially in the 13 original states, would undertake the laborious but certainly interesting and amusing task of searching and collecting all the records, pamphlets, newspapers, and even handbills, which in any way contributed to change the temper and views of the people and compose them into an independent nation. I think we could use that sentiment, the same things that the same facts submitted to a candid world are the same facts we could submit today. People just don't know. So John Adams gave us some sage wisdom. He gave us the, what do you call it? The, what Proverbs refers to, I would say, as the ancient boundaries. Here's one of those old cornerstones of wisdom and knowledge from American history. I think, what do we mean when we say, what does it mean? What would we consider uniquely American? Is John Adams right? Was the revolution indeed effected before the war commenced? Was it indeed in the minds and hearts of the people? Why are we so disinterested then in what that all means? And I return to that. I think if you could get people to read those documents, the rest would sort of take care of itself. I really believe that. What better could we do? And so the both hours on Friday, the National Intel Report that I guest hosted July 20th, 2018, I think that was, you know, I'm asked from time to time, hey, how do you think the broadcast went? My honest answer is usually, you know, not a fan of my own broadcasts. But I think that Friday's National Intel Report, both hours, I don't know which one, you know, maybe hour two in particular, because the links are there. You know, basically the description begins with the tyranny of the judiciary and the modern administrative state have effectively and entirely usurped the Constitution and its republic. What is our recourse? What is our remedy? I advocate we begin reading these three letters, and they're linked. And there are other resources, but that's really where it starts. You know, we had some calls. Chris in Las Vegas called, talked about Edward Mandel House, the tyranny of the judiciary, that language specifically Downs versus Bidwell, Adderley versus Georgia. And I think I added, you know, because I had talked about William Willoughby. And so speaking of those cases and the tyranny of the judiciary, the subject of the insular cases comes up. Puerto Rico, what's Puerto Rico's role? Well, you have to understand the insular cases and William Willoughby's visit to Puerto Rico and how that visit over the course of 10 years and the system that was instituted there became Principles of Judicial Administration, published, I think, in 1919, through the Institute for Government Research at the IRG, which became Brookings, you know, all that history, all that nonsense, that crap. I mean, for lack of a better term, really. Let's go see if we can do it to a few people somewhere and make them love their servitude, as Aldous Huxley put it. And then we'll, you know, institute it on a broader scale, a mass scale. It's going to be great. Watch this. So, you know, the second hour ended with a call from Ed in Utah. And Ed said it was very important that we, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, Ed was making the point that it's very important and I don't want to put words in Ed's mouth. I don't mean to do that. I'm probably doing that. I don't mean to, and I apologize if I am, but basically Ed was making the point, if I understand it correctly, that, you know, there are bad guys out there and we have to shine a bright light on them. And I said, I respectfully disagree for two reasons. I would respectfully disagree. One, I point out over and over the founders who I will say were far brighter than I, far wiser, more sage, more knowledgeable, didn't do that. They used language like designing and unprincipled men, you know, cunning, ambitious. They didn't single people out, though. Basically, if I understand what they were doing correctly, they were saying, focus on what's right, do what's right. And when you see a departure from that, well, you know, do what you have to put things right. That's a paraphrasing of Andrew Jackson's farewell address in 1837. So that would be one reason. The other is similar to it. The other reason I would disagree, I guess the way I would put it, it's a sort of distraction. It's important, but it's of secondary importance. And you have to become acquainted with the authentic. Like the – what's his name? The counterfeiter who went to work for the FBI. He said if you don't – one of the first things that he helped them recognize is that if you're not intimately familiar with the authentic, you can't spot the counterfeit. And what has happened in America is the counterfeiting of what it means to be uniquely American. And by degrees, one by one – and remember what Jefferson said about that. A departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, et cetera, et cetera. So by degrees, we've been conned to accept counterfeits that have taken us basically 180 degrees away from what I would say it means to be uniquely American. It wasn't that many generations ago that we still had a vestige of that. We barely have one if we do today. So anyway, my point was to Ed, okay, say we had a reset today and all the bad guys were shipped off like lepers to some island, you know, Solzhenitsyn's remarks to that effect notwithstanding. Who knows what it means to operate a constitutional republic? Shouldn't we get acquainted with that? And then we would know that we would be intimately familiar with the horrors that we're experiencing under this technocratic nightmare. Seems like a better idea to me. Seems like the first order of business. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America.
With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.